Well, good morning, church. It's good to be with you again today. Before we jump in, I just want to acknowledge a couple of things. First of all, man, this has been a hard season, I think, for every single one of us. And I know I acknowledge that every week, but I just think it's such a good thing to be reminded of. I mean, even just this week, we tried to go and take our kids to the park, and there were tears when they saw the park being wrapped up and closed down. And so as things progress, this doesn't seem to be getting easier. In many ways, it's continuing to get harder. And so we absolutely recognize that. And yet at the same time, we get to have the privilege of being able to gather together this morning to worship the Lord, to praise Him, to come to a time to study the Word of God. And while this isn't the ideal environment, it is what we have an opportunity to do, and we can still be the church regardless. And so super excited to do that. And I want to just take a minute to just welcome you. Some of you are very connected to Central Christian Church. Some of you we know deeply, we know well. Others of you we don't. Some are probably coming in from other churches. And my guess is there's some of you who are here and you're listening into this and you don't know much about Christianity. Maybe this is just something that you're curious about. You're looking into to look for hope and answers in this kind of time. And I just, regardless of where you are, man, we're just glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're here to listen to this. And I pray, at least our hope and our prayer is that this is an encouragement to you, that this is a something that God can use in your life to encourage your heart, encourage your soul, and get you into a good space with Him. And so that's certainly our prayer. Secondly, and I kind of already alluded to this, I just want to encourage you, church, in this season, don't stop being the church. You know, I say this in the email that was sent out this week, is that just because we don't meet in a building all together in one space does not mean we're no longer the church. We are the church because we belong to the people of God because of Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage you in that season, in that moment, don't miss the chance, don't miss the opportunity to love each other, to love your neighbor, to be open and ready to communicate to those that you might run into, to just ask them questions. How are you doing? Ask them if you can pray for them. Make sure you stay 6 feet apart. We got to make sure we abide by that, right? But nonetheless, ask if you can pray for people and ask if they're encouraged or discouraged or if they've got everything that they need. But let's continue to be the church, because there's a lot of people out there who don't have the hope of Christ, and we do. And we need to continue to be giving that. So with all that said, I want to jump into our time together this morning. We're going to continue on in our Easter series. And as we talked about last week, this whole series really is about what the resurrection does for us, as it takes our sorrows and it leads to joy in all of the sorrows of life. And so very specifically today, we're coming to the aspect and the idea of truth. And what is truth? And how does that apply to our lives? And it's important right off the bat for me to say that it's not just factual truth that we're talking about, not, oh, look, the sky is blue. It's so much more deep and profound than that. And so let's go ahead and turn to our text this morning. If you have your Bibles, and I certainly hope that you do there, wherever you are, turn to John chapter 18, and we're going to be reading verses 33 through 40. And let's just catch up to where we are. Basically, Jesus has had his Last Supper with his disciples. He's gone to the garden to pray. He has now been arrested. And in that, after he was arrested, he stood before the Jewish council. They have accused him of blasphemy and all kinds of things. And they, at this point, want to put Jesus to death. But in those days, you could not do that without Rome's consent. And so they take him to the Roman ruler of that area, Pontius Pilate, who was not a pleasant man. And that is where we jump into our text this morning. And so read with me John chapter 18, verses 33 through 40. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or do others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Join me in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. And as we turn to this text, this profound statement that your Son has made, declaring to be the one who bears witness to the truth. Father, I would pray that you would lead us to that truth, that regardless of where we are, even for believers, this is something we need to be reminded of, something we need to lean into, even in this day, even in this age, even in this moment of our lives. And so, Father, I pray that today you would help us to hear your word. I pray, Father, today that you would help us to even see some of our sorrows being restored to the joy because of who Jesus is and what he's called us to as he calls us to truth. And I just pray, Father, these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So here's Pilate's concern. Pilate's concern is not for this man, for Jesus. He doesn't really care about the Jews. Pilate's only concern is Rome and keeping peace. And so he comes to Jesus and he basically is trying to figure out like if he's any kind of threat to Rome. And he's asking him the question, like, are you a king? Like they're saying, because obviously if Jesus is a king, then that's a threat to Caesar there in Rome. And so Jesus kind of turns this on his head. And what Jesus kind of states is something we talked a little bit about last week, which is that his kingdom isn't of this world, that he is a king, but it's not a kingdom of this world. And then he comes to this point and says, here's why I came. I came here to bear witness to the truth. Now, it's interesting because John uses a Greek construction in here to create an ambiguous idea of what truth is. And it's this question of even Pilate asks, like, what is truth? But it's this ambiguity of like, what does he actually mean? And the reason why is because truth, at least the Greek word, has a very, very deep meaning in Hebrew, has a deep meaning in Greek. And much of what he's trying to point out to is that not only is he trying to say that Jesus is one who speaks the truth, in other words, he's a truthful man, but he's also one who reveals truth. And what we see in other spaces of John is that he actually is truth. Now, this can be, I think, hard for us a little bit because we can tend at times to think to truth of just being fact versus not a fact, right? But in this text, this is something so much deeper, so much more profound than this. Yes, every word that Jesus speaks, every word that we have in the Word of God that comes out of Jesus's mouth is absolutely truthful, but it's more than that. Jesus is revealing, he's illuminating what divine reality is, what divine purpose is, what divine intent is, what divine hope is. In many ways, Jesus is creating truth. Jesus is defining that truth for every single one of us. This idea of revealing truth, like this is really important for us as Christians. And I think one of the main points is that it really reminds us that truth doesn't come from us. We have to be led into it. You're going to see a picture come up on your screen. It's a pretty famous painting by Vincent van Gogh. It's called Cafe Terrace at Night. And as we look at this picture, and even as you see this on your screens, like we can make all kinds of statements of truth about this painting. We can say that it's a painting. We know that it was painted by Vincent van Gogh. We can say, well, here's the colors that were utilized in this painting. Those are all truthful statements. But here comes a real question. What is the painting of? Is the painting a cafe in Paris? Is it does it express just a peaceful night? Is a bunch of strangers walking down the street? If you read about the painting, many actually believe that this is a painting that Vincent van Gogh wanted to represent the Last Supper. You can see 12 people, a shadowy figure representing Judas walking out the door, even two women representing Mary and Martha in the back of the cafe. Here's my point. We can say truthful statements, but we don't actually know the truth of what that painting is meant to represent because Vincent van Gogh is no longer here. See, that's the whole aspect of this. That's the whole point of this, is that there's so many aspects of our lives that we cannot access the truth unless we go to the one who knows the truth. And we're never going to know that about Vincent van Gogh's painting unless we find something that he's written or something of that nature that explains it, because he's the source for that truth. No matter what everybody's interpretations are, There's only one truth. And Jesus in this statement is conveying that He is the only access to truth. There's only one voice to listen to when it comes to. And I just think about all that we experience even today. I mean, what is truth in regards to the COVID-19 virus, right? I mean, if you listen to one doctor, they say this, another doctor says this, one politician says this, one politician says this. Like, it's hard in this moment. It's hard in our lives to say, like, what is actually truth? But here's the answer for all of us. And whether you're a believer or not, this is the part that needs to be reminded for us all. Jesus is ultimately the source of truth. And so if you're struggling with all this, Jesus is the one we run to. His is the voice that we need to be listening to. But the problem is, there's a lot of voices that claim to be truth. So let me just illustrate. I think in many ways, while there's a lot of voices, there's three primary ones that we listen to all the time. One, there's your own voice. We all know this voice. It's the voice that's in our head that tells us that we are failures. It's the voice in our head that tells us that we're defined by this thing that happened to us, or the voice in our head that says that we're defined by this place that we came out of, or the color of our skin. And we interpret the things around us based off of this voice. These are the little whispers in our heads that really drive us. They tell us whether we find ourselves to be good or bad or successful or not successful, or all of those aspects that define our character. And so there's this voice that is constantly speaking to us, claiming to be truth. There's other voices, though. There's other people's voices. Maybe it's people telling you you're a failure. Maybe it's people calling you certain things or defining you by certain things. It's comments that are made to you in high school or in your life that make you start to perceive yourself in a particular way. Like, these are voices that begin to create narratives about who we think we are and what we believe to be true about ourselves and the lenses that we see the world through. And this might be a harsh word by a spouse or a harsh word by a parent or a sibling that makes you wonder what is really true about who you are, right? But there's also other voice. And the last voice I want to mention is it's the world's voice. This is the voice of our culture. This is the voice that's going to say, like, this is the category that you fit in. This is the type of person that you are. Because of these things that have happened to you, this is what your expectation should be. And this is what your reality is. And here's the thing, like, there's all kinds of these voices. There's all kinds of these voices. And listen, this whole series is to help us wrestle with the reality of the sorrow of our lives. And I don't mean sorrow in a sense of it just being all of our lives are miserable. Surely that's not the case. And that's not what we're talking about here. But here's what is true, is that many of the sorrows of our lives come from lies and false narratives that we're living out in our own lives, that we're enslaved to. And this is the reality that most of us live in. And Jesus has come to bring joy by bringing truth into our lives, to let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords step in and begin to redefine who we are, to redefine those things that have happened to us. And for Jesus, when He says, like, I've come to bear witness to the truth, when He says in John, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life, when He's making these statements, it naturally then makes us ask the question, like, just as Pilate does, like, what is that? What is that actual truth? And what a profound question that is, especially in a place where we live and when everything seems to be relative in regards to truth. But here's the truth. Well, here is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the only truth. He's the only access to it. And these aren't just facts, but it's an actual encounter with Him as He begins to change our lives and engage our lives. See, for us to put our faith in Jesus, for us to believe in Jesus, to trust that His reality is the only reality that matters, that His reality is the only firm thing for us to anchor to, this is the moment that you realize that the truth about who you are, who you were meant to be, how to interpret your story, it doesn't come from you. It comes from Christ. And He has the power, and He has called us in to be able to take all that we are and reinterpret that and bring it to joy and bring it to restoration and bring it to redemption and bring us to freedom. truth is anchored in Him. And He promises that He's not only going to give us that truth, but He's going to give us His Spirit, which then also leads us to truth. A text out of John, a little few chapters earlier, John chapter 16, verse 13, he says this, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will declare to you things that are to come." See, the Spirit is going to lead us to truth. So this becomes our prayer, that Jesus, by the power of His Spirit, would remove the veil of lies, the deception, and shadows of every untruth that we live in accordance to. That He would remove that from us. And listen, this isn't just about facts. And I think I'm going to illustrate that here in just a moment. But if you're listening right now, let me practically try to explain it in a way just of sharing some of our own personal story. So you're going to see a picture, and these are actually up in our sanctuary. But I want to show a picture to you of our daughter, Jade, the day that we adopted her into our family. So this is a picture of her while we were in China, and you can see in her face just tremendous sorrow, a depth of brokenness. It's a sorrow that's driven by the only truth that she knew. So put yourself in that space. So here's the truths that Jade believed: that the orphanage that she lived in was home. That orphanage, it was the safest, it was the best place for her to be. She had no other experience to understand life by. That that she was in that one place, and that her body, the kind of life that left her malnourished and covered in filth and bruises and scars, like that's what life was. And what's crazy is that she actually believed in that morning, you could see it on her face in that picture, that she lamented losing that. She believed the truth that those caregivers' love in that orphanage was better than the love of a mother or father. That's all she knew. That's all she had access to. It was the only reality in her life. And I just want you to picture and imagine if Jade had grown up in that space, the voices that would have communicated truth to her. At least not a real truth, but the truth that she had. And it's a truth that says that, hey, you're not valuable because you have a handicap. Because you can't see out of one eye. You're not lovable. Like, you're not worth much. Like, nobody is going to love you. Nobody is going to care for you. Someone was going to give you up. This would have defined her reality. And it would have been the only truth that Jade would have ever known. Now, here's the thing that I want to now bring us back to, is that when we adopt Jade, her history does not disappear. She now has the opportunity for the Lord to begin to reinterpret her story, doesn't she? Or doesn't He? Like, she now has the opportunity to begin to hear the voice of Christ. That home that she was in wasn't home. In fact, that she has so much value that people were willing to hear the voice of God to go and sacrifice much to give and go get her and bring her into a home and show her that she is valuable. That her value isn't based on whether or not her parents were willing to give her up or not. Like, we get to see God reinterpret her story, even of her blindness. That now, because of that blindness, my daughter has the chance to have her eyes open to the truth of Jesus Christ. God takes the sorrows of Jade's life, the falsehoods of all of those things that would have been her reality, would have been her truth. And He begins to redeem those things. He begins to shape those things and create a new story. This is what Jesus has called us to do. And the Spirit begins to reveal this to us as His people very practically. This is what He's calling us into, not to just say, here's facts about Jesus, but to let Jesus take all of those voices and lead us to what is true in His eyes. See, in His eyes, Jade is of the utmost value. In His eyes, Jade is perfect. In His eyes, Jade is one to be restored. Jade is one to be cared for. Jade is beautiful. That's the truth that matters, not the other voices. No matter how loud they are, And this works itself out in so many ways of our own lives. I mean, I even can just speak to my own life. And I've mentioned this before, growing up in high school, that was a hard season for me. Getting picked on and made fun of, and the hurts and the wounds from that. I heard in my mind the truth that I'm not worthy of love, I'm not worthy of friendship, that I need to seek the value of men and seek the praise of men, that needs to be the ultimate goal of my life, that's unattainable, that I'm a failure. And Jesus is beginning to, and has begun to, restore that and lead me to the fact that even now I can now look back and see that those moments was God allowing me to be shaped, and now He's redeeming that to where now I can even withstand the criticisms of the position that I'm in now. And much of that stems back to that. See, Jesus is calling all of us out of those sorrows so that He can redeem and restore them, that He can change them and lead us to truth, because that's what He wants to do. Do you see how Jesus is seeking to lead us out of the shadow of lies that we live in, the shadow of lives that we are born into? That's what He's calling us all into. In every moment, that's what Easter's all about. That's what He's proclaiming to be, that He is truth. He's the one that defines our reality, not the world around us, not the voices in our own head. And so here's how I want to end our time. I just want to simply say this, is that as you think about the voices in your head, the truths that you live, the reality that you think is the only reality that's there, and you think about the addictions that you struggle with, the failures that you experience, your past history, the mistakes that you've made, the harsh words that have been spoken to you, the way you see yourself and the way you look at yourself in the mirror and attribute yourself as valuable based on this, that, or the other standard. Like, in all of those things, here's what I would call you to do this morning, is to lay them before Christ and pray, Lord, like, how do you want to redeem these things in my life? How can you restore these things? Because that's what He's trying to do. Maybe you're a single mom, and you feel like, man, I failed, and that's all I am, is just a single mom who had a baby out of wedlock, and that's my story. Man, no, it's not. God is calling you in. He can redeem you in that. He can change that, and He can use it for a beautiful part of His story, not only to His glory, but to your good. And I could go on and on and on, and I think that's what the call is of what Jesus is saying. He's like, I came to bear witness to the truth. Not any other truth, but the one I say is true. And so, very practically this morning, as we come to a time of response, I want to encourage you that as we close this video, that you take a time even to share amongst your family. Maybe you're alone this morning and you need to write down in a journal some of those lies that you know you're living in accordance to. Some of those lies that dictate your life. Some of those sorrows that you have in your heart, and write them down or talk to them with the group that you're in. And begin to pray that God would reveal what real truth is. What does He say about you in those spaces? What does He want you to believe in those spaces? Let Him begin to redeem that and restore that and bring joy out of those sorrows, because He can and He's able. And as you do that, and after you have a chance to ponder that, I want to just invite you to then step into a time of communion. And the Lord commands us to do this every time we gather, whether it's gathering with your family, whether it's with your spouse, you can even do this alone. But I want to invite you into a time of communion where you sit for a moment in the presence of the King. He can be with every single one of us in every space that we are, right here and right now. And sit within the presence of a King who delights in you, a King who loves you, a King who has called you into that redeeming story. And if you are a believer, to take that bread and be reminded that He loved you so much that He died for you and His body was broken on your behalf. And to take that juice and to be reminded that His blood was spilt for you. And if you're not a believer and you're like, what in the world are you talking about with communion? These are simply symbols that we use as believers to remind us of the sacrifice Jesus has made for us, as He's reconciled us back to God, that we always, always have a seat at His table because of what He's done. not because we earned it or because we were good enough. And if you're not a believer this morning, I would just encourage you to ask the question, should I become a believer in Jesus? Should I put my faith in Jesus? Do I want Him to redeem my life? Because He's available for that. And then take that communion. And then also, this is an opportunity for you to respond with tithes and offerings. As we've said over the past few weeks, this is a hard time for the church. Many people have not been able to give or haven't given for whatever reasons. Some of it are valid reasons. And we're asking you to pray about and joyfully pray about what it is that the Lord would have you sacrificially give to the church so that we can be sustained in this time and in this season. Before I pray, I want to just also say this, that if you want prayer, if you want to talk to somebody about Jesus, you want some help in something, or you're struggling something with something, or maybe in this season you're feeling anxiety or depression and you just want pastoral care or counsel, you can text us right now, 316-202-9767. 202-9767, and you can text us. You can just text connect, and then you're going to get a form sent to you to your phone, and you can put your name and address, or just your name and your email address, in a way that we can contact you and what it is that you need help with or prayer for, and then we will contact you and try to connect with you. And so with that, church, I want to invite you to commune with the Lord, to let Him begin even this week to restore and to bring joy to the sorrows of your life. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your truth and your word. I'm thankful that we do not have to be defined by the other voices in our world. We don't even have to be defined by the world saying that everything is falling apart right now, because we know the truth is you are King of Kings and you sit upon the throne. And none of this is outside of your control. And none of this is surprising to you. And so even for us as Christians, we can lean into that. And even in this moment, recognize that this is an opportunity for us as the church to rest and lean into you. May we do that. Father, may we be assured this morning of the forgiveness we have of our sins, of our failures, because of Christ. And may we continue to look towards the celebration of your resurrection in 2 weeks. Father, we just pray a blessing upon your church. I pray, Father, for all of my brothers and sisters, that you would be with them in a mighty way today and in the week to come. I pray, Father, for those that don't know you. Convict their hearts, convict their spirits, Lord. Help them to long for you in a way that would have them to take that step of boldness to reach out. And Father, we just pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, we love you. God bless, and we'll see you next week.